Be continuing discussing issues that come up at Camp Keli, halachic issues that come up at Camp Keli, and also that are going to be in my next sefer. That has to be, it has to fit both criteria, otherwise we're not going to have a share in it this summer. Yes?
This might be more of a personal question, but I feel like a lot of people, is there any way you can get access to your first sefer?
Oh yes, absolutely. I have a bunch of copies. Bli neder, I'll bring them to the base medrash or something, okay?
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you for your interest. Okay, so one thing that came up a couple of years ago at Camp Keli, Moshe Wien, Zichron Levracha, noticed that every time we'd have a meal and people were washing for the meal, they would dry their hands with paper towels and throw them in the general vicinity of the garbage, but often not in the garbage. And the area, the washing area by the dining room, was an absolute mess all the time. So he decided that it's a very economical and for economic and cleanliness reasons to install what we have now. What do we have now? The air dryers. And that way, there's not going to be any. First of all, paper towels are much more expensive. Air dryers, one-time expense, and that's it. You don't have to keep ordering them. Second of all, no mess when they're air dryers. So obviously it doesn't work for Shabbos. You know, Shabbos is Shabbos, what are you going to do? But at least for during the week, that's what we decided. So at that time, a couple of guys came over to me and said, is this kosher? Are you allowed to, are we allowed to use this for Netilas Yadayim? Now on the one hand, you'd say, of course it's kosher, because after all, the mitzvah, what does Netilas Yadayim really refer to? What does it mean? The washing was because of the drying. So who cares how you dry your hands? You stand there like this for 10 minutes in the sun. I don't care how you dry your hands. Why would it make an ounce of difference how you dry your hands? On the other hand, it does seem that drying of hands, specifically in this context, the drying has like an elevated status. It's considered something more than just like something you have to do because you don't want to have wet hands. It seems like there is some halachic status to drying. Why? What gives me that impression that there's something about the drying of the hands that it's more than just practical? Let's think for a second. When do you say the bracha of Al Matilas Yadayim? When your hands are wet, before you dry. When do you say bracha on any other mitzvah? Any mitzvah? Kala mitzvah skulan, finish the phrase. Kala mitzvah skulan, varchan aleyan, avilas yasam, exactly. Every mitzvah you say bracha over las yasan. What does it mean over las yasan? Before you do the mitzvah. If the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim is purely to wash the hands, when should you recite the bracha? Before you wash your hands. When do we recite the bracha? After we wash the hands, before we dry the hands. So maybe drying is actually something. It's actually part of the Netilah. And if it is part of the Netilah, maybe then it has to be done in a certain way. Maybe there are rules and regulations about drying hands. And maybe air drying doesn't fit the criteria of what you need for drying your hands. So that is why there is a shaila, because Netilas Yadayim is highly unusual. I'll tell you that I had a Talmud once in DRS many, many, many years ago, when I was an assistant rabbi in Shari Tfila. Rav Shechter happens to have what most would probably consider an unusual minhag, but is really the pash pshat. He has the practice, so when he washes Netilas Yadayim, he recites the Al Netilas Yadayim before he washes his hands. Over Las Yasa, right? And that's his shita, that's what he does. It seems to be the shita of the Shulchan Aruch as well, right? That's what he does. So I had a Talmud, an 11th grader in DRS, many, many years ago. So he came to Rav Shechter's Shalashudas Shir in Shari Tfilo, when Rav Shechter was scholar in residence. So he was right behind Rav Shechter in line to wash. And Rav Shechter washed, and he did his thing. He said, Al Netilas Yadayim, and then he washed. And the Talmud went over to him, very sweet boy, went over to Rav Shechter afterwards and said, I just want the Rosh Yeshiva to know that I think the halacha is that you're supposed to say the bracha after the Netilah, before you dry your hand. I just noticed, I don't mean to correct the Rosh Yeshiva, but, you know, like he felt like, wow, I know something Rav Shechter doesn't know. Like, he just doesn't know the halacha, nebuch. So what was Rav Shechter's response? Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, that was his whole response. He's going to start giving a shir klali about the role of Niguf. Thank you very much. So why would he do that if the whole rest of the world doesn't do that, right? Where does that come from? Where does what we do come from? So in order to answer this, in order to really discuss this with any intelligence, it's important to... Oh, by the way, just totally derech agav, Why not, what if there are no paper towels and there's no hand dryers? What do people typically do? They use a shirt, right? Is there any problem with that, with using a shirt? So there is a Magen Avraham in the name of the Tashbetz, and it's quoted by all of the Achronim. It's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, by the Ben Ishchai, by the Kafah Chaim, Shulchan Aruch Harav. You know, all the major halacha Achronim quote this Tashbetz, who says that you're not supposed to use your shirt to dry your hands because it's kasha l'shikcha. It's like a skula to make you forget things when you use your shirt to dry your hands. So that, the Prima Gadim in the Eshel Avram writes that maybe it's only a shirt. Maybe better to use your pants. Then maybe you can use other begadim. Maybe it's only about a shirt that we say it's kasha l'shikcha. There's also a discussion, the Mishnah Berurah is not sure, is that only when you're drying your hands after Netilas Yadayim? Or is that whenever your hands are wet? Let's say, I don't know, you're caught in the pouring rain, your hands are soaking wet, and you get inside, and you need to text somebody, but your hands are wet, you're going to ruin your phone, so you want to dry your hands. Can you use your clothing to dry your hands then? It's not Netilas Yadayim related. Mishnah Berurah is not sure. There is an argument to be made the other way, that it's worse when it's something else. But by Netilas Yadayim, maybe it shouldn't be kasha l'shicha, because there is a concept, shomer mitzvah l'yeda davara, that someone who's doing a mitzvah, you don't have to worry about skulas for bad things happening when you're doing a mitzvah, right? You don't have to worry about it because the mitzvah protects you. So if you're doing a mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim, maybe whatever bad omen there is in drying your hands on your shirt, maybe that doesn't exist in Netilas Yadayim. Rav Vadia Yosef's son, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, the current Rav HaRashi, of Sfardi Rav HaRashi of Eretz Yisrael, of Medina Yisrael, raises that question, and he says, no, it's probably still kasha l'shicha, because it's not like the only way to do the mitzvah is to dry your hands on your shirt. You know, there are other ways to dry your hands, so it's probably still not good. Okay, but let's get back to our discussion here. Drying your hands, is that part of the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim or not? The Gemara tells us in a couple of places that whenever you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to say a bracha before the mitzvah. So Tosfos wonders already, oh yeah? Then how come we say the bracha after Netilas Yadayim, not before Netilas Yadayim? So Tosfos says two answers. Number one, Tosfos says, sometimes it's impossible to say the bracha before the Netila, because before the Netila your hands are a mess, and you're not supposed to say a bracha when your hands are messy. Sometimes before the Netila your hands are fine, and you can't say a bracha, but lo plug. We don't want to have like different rules for different situations. So in order to keep it consistent, we just always recite the bracha afterwards and not before, because there are many situations where we're unable to recite the bracha before. That is a very intriguing answer. If I can't say the bracha before, so what do? I say the bracha afterwards. Is that true always? Let's say you have a mitzvah that you can't say the bracha before. What other kind of mitzvah would we say, you know what, you just can't say the bracha before that mitzvah? Where else would we have such a situation that you can't say the bracha before? I can't hear. Asher Yatzar. But that's not there's no birchas mitzvah. There's no mitzvah being done. I'm talking about a bracha on a mitzvah that you cannot say the bracha before the mitzvah. Ah, a ger converted, right? So when by tevilas ger, when a, which... I'm involved in a Beis Din Legerus, so we have this all the time. So we tell them, you go down, you come up, you say the bracha, and go down again. Why do we tell them to go down again? So at least it'll be a little bit before. But the first tevila was really megayer them. Yeah, you know, and that's why they say the bracha afterwards. So that's actually a very good example of what Tosfos is talking about. That sometimes you can't do a netila before, you can't do a bracha before the netila, or in that case, a bracha before the tevila, so you say the bracha afterwards. However, there are other cases where you can't say a bracha. You know, there's a Tshuvas HaRashba, Chelek Aleph Siman Yud Ches, where the Rashba deals with the question of why it is that some mitzvahs have a bracha and other mitzvahs don't have a bracha. So the Rashba writes that there's no single rule of which mitzvahs get a bracha and which ones don't. There are like 8 rules. And you have to like know all of them, and then you can figure out which one. So the Rashba talks about, what about like giving tzedakah? You say a bracha before you give tzedakah? No, right? What about lending money to somebody? It's a mitzvah to lend money to somebody. A lot of times it's an underrated mitzvah. People always think of the mitzvah of giving money. But there's also a mitzvah to loan money to somebody in need. right? So he just needs a loan to get them through a rough patch or something. It's a mitzvah. You say a bracha before doing that. So there's no bracha. So the Rashi says, why not? Why is there no bracha on those mitzvahs? So I would have said, because we never have a bracha on a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveru. We only have brachas on mitzvahs ben adam l'makom. Maybe there's a rule. No mitzvah, no bracha on a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveru. That's not what the Rashi says. Rashi says, because it's not up to you to see to it that you're successful in doing that mitzvah. It's not kulo biyad ha'osa. It's not entirely dependent on the one doing the mitzvah. It's partially dependent on someone else cooperating. What do I mean? I had a cousin once. He's still a cousin, but he told me that he was once running for a train in Penn Station, and there was a guy sitting on the side with a cup in his hand, you know, on the floor in Penn Station. So as he's running for the train, he throws a quarter into the guy's cup. And he just runs, and he hears behind him someone screaming, "You idiot, that was my coffee!" Right? Sometimes you'll give tzedakah, and the person will say, "No thanks, not interested, I don't want your tzedakah." Sometimes because they're too prideful, sometimes, whatever the reason is. Sometimes you think they're poor, they're not poor, they're just enjoying a coffee on the nice cold floor of Penn Station. It's not always up to you. So says the Rashba, so what do you do? Now you'd expect the Rashba to say, so don't say the bracha before, say the bracha afterwards. It's not what he says. He says don't say the bracha at all. So it is a little bit curious. Tosfos says, oh, since there are times that you cannot say a bracha before netila, so therefore we say the bracha after the netila. But you could have argued, so don't say a bracha at all. Or I'll give you an example that fits with Tosfos. You get married. God willing, one day you'll find the right girl and you'll get married. So under the chuppah, because according to some Rishonim, there is a birchas ha-mitzvah called birchas erusin. It's a bracha, according to some Rishonim, many Rishonim, a bracha that's a birchas ha-mitzvah on getting married, on kiddushin. What's the bracha, the text of the bracha? What? Asolanas harusas, v'etelanas anasus, l'anadei chuppah v'kiddushin. Some people in Ksuvas this year, right? They have according to many Rishonim, according to the Rosh, it's a birchas shavach v'odah. According to many others, it's a birchas hamitzvah. I remember when I was in 10th grade in MTA, my Rebbe was a young, dynamic, amazing Rebbe. His first year teaching. His name was and is Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky. And that summer, after 10th grade, I was a CIT in not Camp Cayley, in a different camp. And Rabbi Kamenetsky was a, I don't know what he was doing in the camp that year. Maybe he was an chinuch staff in the camp that year. I don't think he was a teen head counselor anymore. But I think he was chinuch staff in the camp that year. And he was sitting outside of the kolel of that camp, which was also be'emtza hamachane, like our kolel. And he said, and I was walking by, and he was learning with Rabbi Neuberger, Shlita, and he wanted to show off to Rabbi Neuberger how his Talmidim know the sugyas. So he said, Aryeh, is Birchas Erusin and Birchas HaMitzvah or Birchas HaShavach? I'm like, I don't know. I remember that. I don't know. And he was so upset. He was like, we spent weeks on this in Shir. The rush calls it. Or he asked me if getting married is a mitzvah. I think that's what he said. Is getting married a mitzvah? Oh, the Rambam and the rush. It was a week. So since then, I haven't forgotten. Because I was so hurt that he was hurt. It tells you something a little bit about memory, you know? That like, sometimes like you could be spending weeks on something, but if you attach emotion to it, it becomes much more meaningful. Like, you know, that's why people who really genuinely love Torah have an easier time remembering it. It's not only because they have superior memories. It's not always true that they have a superior memory. Right? There's probably a TV show or a movie or a stand-up comedy act or something that you once that you once saw that you could remember every single detail of it. And you didn't even chazer it more than two or three times. Yet before your Gemara final, you take you go over a 10-block Gemara, you chazer it a million times, and you can't remember any of it. Because when you attach the memory to emotion, it becomes much more meaningful. So because I was so hurt that I hurt him, because I so admired and still admire him, it made such an impact that how could I forget it? Like it hurts him if I forget it. I don't want to hurt him. So where was I? Yeah. So the many Rishonim hold it's a mitzvah to get married. So the right, but when do we say the bracha? When do you say the Birchas Erusin? So the Rambam says it's a Birchas Mitzvah. When do you say any Birchas Mitzvah? Right before you do the Kiddushin. So you say the bracha, then you put the ring on her finger and you say Arayim Kedashasli, right? Says the right, no, can't do that. Because what happens if you say the bracha, you're about to put the ring on her finger and she's like, on second thought, and then she runs away. Meaning it's not up to you to make sure that it happens. You need someone to participate. You need someone to like go along with it. And if she does, so says the Ravid, you'd have expected the Ravid to say, so don't say a bracha, right? No, of course say a bracha. What do? Say the bracha afterwards. So sometimes, when you can't say a bracha before, you say a bracha afterwards. Good? That's the first answer of Tosos. Again, for those who came a little bit late, we were discussing whether the air dryers for after Netilas Yadayim, whether that's kosher. That's a kosher way of doing Netilas Yadayim. Is the drying part of the mitzvah? And if it is part of the mitzvah, does it have to be done in a certain way? So we're trying to figure out what the role of drying is in Netilas Yadayim. So according to the first answer of Tosfos, there's no role of drying in Netilas Yadayim. It's not about drying. It's just about the fact that you can't say the bracha before because your hands might be too dirty. So you say the bracha after. But when you say the bracha after you wash, before you dry, it is after the mitzvah. The mitzvah's over already. Drying is not the mitzvah. But then Tosfos says something else. Then Tosfos gives another answer. And he writes that even if you say the bracha after you wash your hands, as long as you haven't yet dried your hands, that is over las yasan. It is a bracha prior to the mitzvah. How so? He says, well, there's a Gemara Masechta Sota and Daf Dalet Amud Beis. The Netilas Yadayim sugars are not where you would expect them in Shas. Netilas Yadayim sugars are in the beginning of Masechta Sota. A lot of times, things are not where you expect them to be in Shas. So, there's a Gemara in Sota Daf Dalet Amud Beis that tells us that someone who eats bread below Nigov Yadayim without drying his hands, ki'ilu ochel lechem tameh. It's as if he's eating tameh bread. What does that tell you? That drying your hands is critical in the process. It doesn't elaborate beyond that. And the Rosh also says that yesh tam achar b'netila kivin demivarech kodem nigov gam zu mitzvas netila. That the drying is part of the netila. Wow. So if the drying is part of the netila, so we say a bracha, it's still over las yasan because we're not done with the mitzvah yet. Big difference between the first answer and the second answer. According to the first answer, it's saying, yeah, the mitzvah's over. But you couldn't say the bracha before, so you say it after. So let me ask you. If, let's say, you washed, dried, and then realize, Ayvei, I forgot to say a bracha. Is it too late? One second, let's get this nafka mitzvah. Is it too late? Ah, very good. If you hold like the second answer, it tells us that the drying is part of the mitzvah, and that's why you're allowed to say a bracha before the drying. Well, after the drying, there's nothing left of the mitzvah, and you can't say the bracha. But if you hold like the first answer, it tells us that anyway, when it comes to the Netilas Yadayim, we're saying the bracha afterwards. Drying's not anything anyway. We're always saying the bracha afterwards. So you could say it after the drying also. Even then, there's a limit. You probably can't say it like a week later, right? You know, you probably can't say it after the meal. But, you know, but at least right after the drying, you'd be, let's say it. Question?
That's Gemara, doesn't it? Doesn't it really imply that the actual drying is part of the mitzvah, but rather just the fact that you have to have dry hands during bread? Doesn't it lead into the mitzvah?
Good. We'll get to that. Excellent. Right? Good. Also what? Let's assume both. Yeah.
But doesn't say the difference between washing your hands and drying your hands, doesn't that create a hafsek?
A hafsek for what? Between what and what?
Because you're delaying washing your hands and finishing the complete, the whole process until you die. Or is that considered part of the first no hafsid?
I think we're trying to say that it's part of the same thing, right? I don't think it's a hafsid. You know, there's a halacha that you're supposed to... I remember a different time when I was a kid in camp, same camp. We went for a Shabbos meal, and the sinks were outside of the dining room, like on the outside, not like in the building, outside of the building. So we all, we washed, and then we went to the door of the dining room, and it was locked. The waiters weren't opening up yet. So we were sitting outside for like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And, you know, like, girls wouldn't be able to do this. They, you know, they had to talk, but guys were just like, we'll just sit quietly. we were totally fine just sitting there quietly. And Rabbi Kamenetsky came over to me and he said, have you ever heard of a concept called hefsek? So I'm like, He's like, even being silent for 15, 20 minutes is probably a little too much of a hefsek between your netilas yadayim and your hamotzi. What is the amount of time of hefsek? So it happens to be, Tosos Maseches Sota Daf Lamed Tes derives really from a Gemara in Zvachim. It's amazing how Shas works on that. From a Gemara in Zvachim, that the sheer hefsek is Kidei Hiluch Chaf Beis Amma. That the amount of time it takes to walk 22 amos. How much is 22 amos? From here to the back of the room is more than 22 amos. So it's not that long, right? And you're not supposed to be mafsik. It won't necessarily ruin a pidyevet, but you're not supposed to be mafsik more than 22 amos. Because the Gemara says, Yerushalmi says, takeif l'netila bracha. That right after netila, you're supposed to have bracha. What does takeif mean? What does immediately mean? So that's what Tosa says. We have a notion in Karbanos, takeif l'smicha shchita. And the smicha and shchita of a particular carbon were done 22 amos away from each other. So that's how we know takeif has to be 22 amos, right? Within 22 amos. So that's the raya that they bring. So when do you start the clock on my kidei hiluch 22 amos?
Wait, that's when you wash 2 minutes,
right? Yeah. When do I start the clock?
The last person.
No. But let's say it's just me. No one else is watching. Just me. When do I start the clock from? Ah, so that's another nafkamina. If drying is part of the mitzvah, so then I start when I finish drying. You ever see, you see it a lot with old European Jews, but really we should see it with more Jews, that after washing, some people leave that, even after drying, they leave their hands a little bit wet and they rub their hands together as they're walking to the table. You ever see that being done? Rav Shechta does this. A lot of old European Jews do this. They walk to, what are they doing? What are they accomplishing? If you hold like the opinion that tells us that drying is part of the netila, they're delaying starting the clock because they're continuing to dry their hands as they walk to the table. So they're delaying starting the clock on the hefsek between the netila and the bracha. How does that work? I'm not sure. I don't know how that works. But you can't question Yekishim and Hagim. Rav Shechta used to say, the Yaki say that Darmin Hagim predate Matan Torah. You know, like we can't go against Yekishim and Hagim. L'chora when you finish, because when you finish the mitzvah, right? So drawing is part of the mitzvah whenever you finish. That would start the clock. I realize we only have 5 minutes left, so I've got to speed this up a little bit. Right? So far we have one possibility of what drying is, that it's part of the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. There are two other possibilities of what drying accomplishes. The second possibility of the three that we're going to have in total is that the Torah writes that you have to dry your hands really well, because if you don't, it's ki'ilu ochel lechem tameh. Why? Because the water that's on your hands becomes tameh. And you don't want tamei water to your hands were tamei before the netila. Then you wash, so now the water, your hands are tamei, but the water's tamei. So now that water is going to touch your food, food's going to become tamei. So that's why it's kilu ochel lechem tamei. But the halacha happens to be that if you pour a substantial amount of water over your hands, then the water does not become tamei. If you pour more than a revius, so if you're generous in the amount of water you pour, you don't have to worry about that concern. A third reason Rashi writes in Maseches Sota that when the Gemara says Kilu Achal Lechem Tameh, he says Tameh doesn't mean Tameh in the sense of ritual impurity. Tameh sometimes just means gross. It means something, you know, it's just like a negative word. It's gross to eat a sandwich with wet hands. Why? The bread will be all soggy. It's just gross. So you shouldn't do things that are disgusting. And that's why you have to dry your hands. So three explanations why you have to dry your hands. Either you dry your hands because it's part of the mitzvah of netila, or you dry your hands because otherwise your hands will be tameh. The water will be tameh, rather. Or you dry your hands because it's just disgusting. Now let's think about these hand dryers, right? These air dryers. If you hold that the whole reason you dry your hands is because it's gross to touch your food with wet hands, air dryers okay? Yeah, totally okay. If it's because the water on your hands is going to be tameh and that will be metameh your food, it will be okay? So I would have said totally okay, assuming that it's all dry, that it's totally dry. The Shulchan Aruch Harav. Anyone know who the Shulchan Aruch Harav was? What? First Lubavitcher Rebbe, very good. The Balatanya. The Shulchan, he was known as Balatanya for his philosophical work, but Shulchan Aruch Harav is his halachic work. The Balatanya holds that you do not satisfy the concern of tamei water by air drying your hands. Because it seems that he holds, although it's not abundantly clear, that when you dry with a towel, you're removing the tamei water. When you air dry, some of it is evaporating, but some of it is becoming absorbed in your hand, and therefore it's you still have a problem. A great, great chiddush. I don't think other achronim agree with that. But if you hold like the Shulchan Aruch Rav, then you have a problem, right? Then air drying might be a problem. But pashtus is not that way. What if the old drying is part of the mitzvah? Right? The drying is part of the mitzvah. Can you then use an air dryer to do the mitzvah today? So now what it really depends upon is, as part of the mitzvah, does it require a maisa? Do you need to do something active? Or can it just happen? Meaning normally, if you're going to say a bracha on something, so you say a bracha on a mitzvah, it means you're saying a bracha on an action of a mitzvah. Kol mitzvah kulam mevarchim alein over la'asiyason. Asiya means doing, you're doing something. If you're just sitting there, or you put your hand somewhere and air blows on it, but you're not actually doing anything, you could argue that it's not a maisa. One could be mechalik between air dryers and air dryers, right? There are those that you just put your hand under it and it dries, and then there are those you got to hit a button or something. You have to hit the thing, and then it starts blowing air. Hitting the thing is probably a maisa. You could argue just even putting your hands there, rubbing them together, something like that, might be considered a maisa. So there aren't many tshuvas and poskim about this, but the couple that I found are made though. I found in tshuvas Bitzalah Chachma, Bitzalah Stern, was a posik in Australia, was makel on this issue, and Rabbi Binyamin Zilber, the Oz Nidbru, was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish, was makel on this issue. And I loved the tshuva in Oz Nidbru for two reasons, and with this we'll close. Reason number one that I love the tshuva is the person who wrote the shaila to him wrote to him lechvod harava gon hamuchter b'shem tzaddik me'at tzaddik ha'gadol ha'kadosh ha'chazonish. Dear rabbi who was called a tzaddik by the great chazonish, because everyone knew that the chazonish used to call Rav Binyamin Zilber Binyamin HaTzaddik because he was such a tzaddik. Chazonish called his Talmud Binyamin HaTzaddik. Rav Zilber writes back, I can tolerate a lot of things, but I cannot tolerate the lies you're saying in the name of the Chazon Ish. That he would, that we know that we don't listen to what people say the Chazon Ish said. You have to know that the Chazon Ish said such, and he wouldn't say such a thing. I can't tolerate that you would say such a thing about the Chazon Ish, such lashon hara about the Chazon Ish, that he would call me a tzaddik. So that's reason number one that I love the tshuva. The other reason I love the tshuva is the person who asked the shaila said you shouldn't be allowed to use air dryers for netilas sidayim because it's something new. And Judaism rejects anything that's new. Chassam Sofer coined the phrase, Chadash Asa Min HaTorah. So Binyamin Zilber gives it to the guy over the head. He says, you know what would be the newest thing in all of Judaism? The most new and corrupt thing to do with all of Judaism is to suggest that Judaism rejects any modern invention. To say that every modern invention doesn't fit with Yiddishkeit just because it's new. That is the greatest chadash aser min atzara I've ever heard. And he's mekel that we can use these. So Moshe means the Chronos Bracha did a wonderful thing, did many wonderful things for the camp. One of the wonderful things he did for the camp is save the camp a lot of money and a lot of mess by putting in those air dryers without any halacha compromise whatsoever. Except unless you use them in the Shabbos, and it's a significant halacha compromise. But other than that, yeah. Can't hear it louder. That you would dry your hands.